Over the past year, through three iterations, many landowners were outraged when they learned their homes and farms were in the path of a proposed railroad meant to divert freight traffic around the Chicago area. They brought that anger to a series of public hearings, including this one at Morris High School in Grundy County.
It is un-American to take eminent domain.
My great-grandfather's legacy is my
firm. But it's easy to lose sight of the individuals in a crowd. This isn't just a gang of rabble-rousers. These are real people.
Come bosses!
A herd of chunky, shaggy, two-toned cattle trots silently toward us. Kathy Jerkowski raises these Scottish purebreds on her farm and home, Clover Corners in Rockton.
They come in three colors, and everybody calls them the Oreo cookie cows. But they are belted Galloways, so. You know, and here they were almost extinct. And now they make a comeback and a train is pushing them out of their fields. So where the tree line is, that's where my grandkids live. And the tracks will be here and I won't be able to go visit them. We'll just be able to try to wave between the train crossings.
Kathy and Jerry Jerkowski built their brick house 30 years ago in rural northern Winnebago County, not that far from the Wisconsin border. 200 acres with plenty of room for their belted Galloways, goats, and chickens, as well as the corn and soybeans they grow to help pay the bills. It's where they plan to spend the rest of their lives. Then, in September, they learned the Great Lakes Basin Railroad had changed its route. Trains would pass closer than 200 feet from their bedroom. Jerry Jerkowski says it goes beyond just the loss of part of their land. What happens to the remaining land is one of the reasons a number of county farm bureaus oppose the rail line.
It makes many odd-shaped fields that are very, very difficult to work. A triangle is probably one of the worst things to farm, and it's making many, many triangles across the state. And there will be farms that will have land that they won't have access to on the other side of the tracks, and so that land will be useless to him.
Within a few months of learning about the rail line, the Jerkowskis found themselves becoming experts in all things rail. Neighbors started meeting in their home to plan their opposition strategy. They've been outspoken opponents at public hearings. They're active on anti-Great Lakes Basin Railroad social media sites. They've become a clearinghouse for yard signs. And Kathy has put together a presentation to take to area clubs and organizations. She says people throughout the region are learning they have something in common.
When you start over in LaPorte, Indiana, this is thousands and thousands of acres of pristine farmland. And they talk about creating jobs. What about the jobs they're taking away? Farmers hire people. Farming is a job.
Kathy Jerkowski jokes, this has been a heck of a way to make new friends. About 10 miles north of the Jerkowski farm, across the Illinois-Wisconsin border, is one of the state line's busiest, best-kept secrets, Double B Farm, Country Store, and Cafe.
This is the most unique place I've ever found.
Jim Liga is a retired photographer, sipping coffee and waiting for breakfast in the packed part of the restaurant regulars call the Room of Knowledge.
I love it. I come out here every day, have coffee, and Thursdays we talk to the boys, straighten out the world, and then we go home and get beat up by our wives.
It's the Thursday meeting of the ROTC, the Retired Old Timers Club. They have some strong opinions on, well, pretty much everything. And at this day's gathering, there was consensus on the Great Lakes Basin Railroad, unanimous opposition.
Well, it's kind of like Standing Rock. They're coming out here, they figure they got less opposition so they can bulldoze us over. Do they really need it?
Joe Weum lives about 3 miles from the proposed path, but he doesn't want to deal with the construction tie-ups and the fear of cars loaded with hazardous waste derailing. Retired Rock County Sheriff Howard Erickson says he doesn't know anyone in Beloit Township who supports the plan.
It affects everybody that lives around this whole area. And you got all this eminent domain. I mean, the property's taken. People don't have much choice. You know, and the township's trying to grow here. And it's, you know, it's just going to make kind of a mess for lots of people. It just causes, I don't know, hard feelings for people. They've lived around here all their life, you know. So it's difficult. Same way all over the country. So Change is hard.
Members of the retired Old Timers Club treat the Double B like home, or better. They take turns refilling coffee cups for all the customers. They even pooled their money to fix up the driveway when it needed repairs. They've looked at the maps, and they know the current proposed path of the train line is a threat to their gathering spot. The two-room restaurant is located in the front of a barn built in 1850. Baby farm animals live in the back part of that barn till they're old enough to move outside. This is Barb Beeler's farm. Once she's finished feeding her restaurant customers, it's time to take care of the hungry crowd outside. These are the cattle, sheep, pigs, and chickens that end up on her customers' plates. She says the current path of the rail cuts off her house, barn, and restaurant from her pasture, the food source for many of her animals.
Way up top is another set of power poles. It's coming down. That fence there is going to come along that fence and just come right down. So everything we have for the 43 acres is on the other side of the train.
Beeler's not sure if she and her husband can afford to keep their livestock if a rail runs between them and their grazing land. And it's the farm-raised meat that keeps their restaurant viable. She also isn't sure the limestone foundation of her sesquicentennial barn can handle the vibration of a train running less than a football field away. Like many other farmers along the route, she feels disrespected by the whole process. Great Lakes Basin Transportation maintains the path was drawn to have the least impact on people.
We're not packed together, but we're still people. We still count. You know, you just don't call us a wasteland. And you can't make more ag land. And, you know, you got to feed people. You take it away. That's it. It's done.
Like others who've protested in meetings and comments submitted to the federal agency in charge of approving rail projects, Beeler says she's living in limbo.
It's frustrating because you don't know and you're going to have to sit for 2 years and wonder, am I going to have a train in my backyard?
The wait probably is that long. Building a railroad from scratch is a long process. Frank Patton, the founder and chairman of Great Lakes Basin Transportation, says America has forgotten how to build railroads, and at this point, it's in the hands of the Surface Transportation Board.
We certainly have to obey the law. We have to go through all the permitting processes to handle it, just to have everybody stay informed as we move forward. We certainly, at some point, want to talk to every single individual property owner. It's too early in the game to do that now, but within 1 year, maybe 2 years, and there have been some terrific ideas that have come through the websites.
So while the wheels of bureaucracy turn slowly along the tracks in Washington, opponents of the Great Lakes Basin Railroad are encouraging each other to continue their fight. That means telling their story to whomever will listen and keeping the comments flowing to the Surface Transportation Board. I'm Susan Stevens.